Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is Greg Power, the Fisheries Division Chief for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Rob Holm for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who manages both the Valley City and Garrison National Fish Hatcheries. Today we're going to talk about the unique partnership between the two agencies. Greg, give us a little background on the partnership between the two agencies.
Well, Game and Fish and Wildlife Service have been partners on raising fish, you know, 50 plus years. And in the early years, Garrison, when it went online for many, many years, is probably the agreement, the partnership was nothing more than a handshake. You know, back in the old days, we did have a state hatchery at Spiritwood. That was in place until the late 80s. But, you know, over the years, the production, fish production has really been Garrison and Valley City hatcheries. And we just worked side by side in the early years without anything on paper. You know, you fast forward to the mid-80s and the Game and Fish all of a sudden had a new source of funding. We had a lot of more money available, and a decision was made then to expand Garrison Hatcheries ponds. They had 24 original, we added 40 more, and then also the cold water facility for trout and salmon. And at that point, we had our first written agreement in the late 80s, and it's been amended, I believe, once in the 90s. And that's, again, that's the beauty of it. We've worked literally shoulder to shoulder for years with virtually no conflict. And in the end, everybody benefits from that type of relationship.
What is the North Dakota Game and Fish's role in this process?
Well, that's unique too. And I think it's unique throughout probably all of the United States, is that the Game and Fish, the state, basically collects eggs, the fish in the spring, especially the walleye and pike. We're responsible for taking that. The hatchery comes up, they bring the fish to one of the two hatcheries, and they do what they do best, which is unbelievable, and that is raise the fish production-wise, and that's where we get the tens of millions of fish that we stock into the lakes. And the hatchery takes care of that business, and then Game and Fish, the state, comes back and stocks the lakes, basically all of the lakes across the state, including some of the tribal waters and refuge waters, because it's, you know, otherwise it's a duplication effort. So I think that the relationship we have is highly, highly mutual for everybody out there, and just very efficient in what we do.
Rob, Greg mentioned a little bit about your role, but what do you guys do here at the hatcheries? What's your role?
Yeah, like I said, we do the production end of it. So we get eggs in from typically the biologist in the spring and hatch them out here at the hatcheries and raise them up to a stocking size, whatever that might be. And then the state comes back in and does the stocking. Like Greg mentioned, it's an efficiency thing for us. If you look at the size of our facility and the production that comes out of here, it's pretty remarkable compared to any of the other facilities around the country. And we're doing it with just a handful of people, literally five people that we have here. Never would happen without the support of the Game and Fish. We wouldn't have the bodies, the equipment to go out and do the collection for the eggs. We don't have a boat here. We have a distribution truck, but it's rarely used, and it's typically just for our restoration and recovery efforts. And so you can get by from our standpoint super effectively and efficiently here.
So a pretty incredible relationship then.
Oh yeah, like you mentioned, actually, you know, they had, when Valley City came online back in the 40s, that's when the partnership was established, and we were actually sharing equipment and people between the Game and Fish and the Fish and Wildlife Service. So they had a great partnership going there. And then, like Greg said, when we moved into the Garrison era with the dam building and the Bald Hill Dam hatchery came online and Garrison came online, that just expanded that role. And it's gotten better and better over the years. And for me, it's like a model that we should be using across the United States. You know, the sports dollars are paying for the fish that are coming out of here, sport fishing dollars through your angler, you know, your taxes and stuff on equipment and your revenues generated from license sales and so forth. And so we got a perfect scenario, you know, it's a user group paying for it, and we're doing, I think, a great job as far as meeting their needs. You look at the fisheries here in North Dakota, best has ever been, right?
Right. What species are you raising here?
So our number one for North Dakota is always going to be walleye, it seems to be anyway. I mean, that's a typical 10 million fingerling request every year. We also do a lot of fry stockings throughout the United States. This is a federal hatchery, so we do take care of North Dakota, but we also have a role to take care of other states. So we got usually around 100,000, or million actually, walleye fingerlings that are going to Wyoming, and we do over 1 million walleye fry stockings in Idaho, Colorado, Missouri, other Arizona even, we've in the state of Washington have had walleye fry from out of here. We also do a lot of stuff that, like your northern pike, your other more typical native species. We've done smallmouth bass here, crappie, bluegill type of things, largemouth bass, muskies, tiger muskies, paddlefish, a whole gamut. Shovel-nose sturgeon for restoration work, and then of course the pallid sturgeon recovery. We've been working on that program for over 20 years now, and we're seeing lots of good things happening from that.
We wouldn't have a salmon fishery without the hatchery.
True story. That's another one I hadn't even mentioned. So all the trout and salmon in North Dakota actually come from the hatchery. You know, most of the, by and large, the bulk of them are coming right from here. There are some broodstock and larger fish that are coming out of the Wyoming hatchery and trade for the walleye that they receive. But yeah, the 550,000 salmon that are being stocked in Sakakawea, they all came out of here. With a cooperative effort, again, of the Game and Fish. It's the Game and Fish that goes out and does the collections, they assist with the spawning, and they do all the stocking.
Rob, explain your two facilities.
The differences between the two, we've got one of them, the Valley City, it's actually in a different drainage even than the one here at Garrison. So the Valley City drains into the Hudson Bay through the Red River, and it was an older facility, came online in the 40s. At that time when it came online, they were taking railroad cars, which is why it's in Valley City. They'd come through Valley City, pick up fish and fry, and stock them all over the country from out of that hatchery. That was back in the days when we were literally stocking every lake and every pond. So it was called a farm pond program at the time. So the farmers would line up, if they had a pond there in their pasture they wanted stocked with fish, they'd meet the train and they'd get a bunch of fish and they'd go stock it. It's evolved. Then when the Lake Ashtabula was built, a part of the mitigation for the lake was the building of that hatchery, and the idea at that time was Ashtabula, the Bald Hill Dam, would actually provide fish then for stocking back into Ashtabula, which it does, but it also has a larger role in the state in stocking several other waters here, as does Valley City. Garrison, similar story, where it's built with Lake Sakakawea, our Garrison Reservoir in mind at the time, and we've taken on many other roles as more dams have been built, and we have other federal responsibilities and tribal responsibilities that we stock fish for.
Greg, at certain times of the years, the fish are raised. What are your crews do then?
Well, that time starts in May generally, but that's the fish distribution part of it, and our requests for the last decade or so have been record setting. Whether it's pike or walleye, it doesn't matter. It seems there's a whole lot of fish being stocked across the state, so that's when we come down here and we have two or three trucks, drivers hitting all these lakes across the state. And right now we're over 400 lakes, so there's a lot of trips. I suppose there's probably about two man months, at least, oh, more than that, three man months in just distribution, getting the fish to the lakes.
Okay, the biggest question for both of you guys, how do anglers benefit from the partnership that we have here?
North Dakota, by and large, it depends upon the species, but we do not have a lot of natural reproduction. There's certain waters, Lake Oahe is a great example, self-sustaining walleye population, which hasn't been stocked in 35 years. But for the most part, we need the fish that come out of the hatcheries, the two federal hatcheries, and it means everything. The economics today, $1.some billion in gross business volume. If it wasn't for the hatcheries, they'd be well less than half of that. So there's so many opportunities driven by the hatcheries.
Yeah, I'd agree. So it's not just a benefit for the angler, which it is a huge. If you're an angler, you know how important being able to catch fish when you get out there is. But think about all the other mom and pop stores that are along the way, the gas stations and the motels and the restaurants and stuff that are benefiting as well from the sport fishing that goes on. And so you can see it's a big generator. Economic generator for North Dakota as well. And I think that, that's one of the things that we try to promote. If you're not into fishing, there's still benefits that you're receiving as a North Dakota resident or even a U.S. resident as a result of the cooperation that we have with the two agencies and getting fish out efficiently and establishing and maintaining these great fisheries that we do have in North Dakota.
So because of the partnership, we probably have the best fishing we've ever
without
had.
Without a doubt.
Well, yeah.
Without a doubt.
And you might want to add, too, on top of the fishing, which is obviously critically important, but Rob and the mission of the Fish and Wildlife Service is, slightly different than the Game and Fish Department, but done an outstanding job dealing with native fish species, and that's been what the service, especially in the last decade or more, they've been dealing with. And you know, we all care about some of these other fish that maybe you don't put on your plate, but we feel good that it's out there. And pallid sturgeon, of course, is a poster child, but there's so many other species that Rob and the hatchery system deal with that are important also to North Dakota.
Rob, explain. We were talking just before this. We were taking a tour of the hatchery here, and boy, we saw some pallid sturgeon. What'd you say? They were 60, 70, 80 years old?
Sure.
You're doing some restoration work with those.
Right, so the pallid sturgeon was listed as an endangered species back in the 90s, and the population was down to a couple hundred individuals in this North Dakota reach up into Montana. Something had to be done, and we came in with looking at habitat changes and so forth, which are long-term and important to the species, but in order to keep them from blinking out, we knew we had to do some as far as hatching, you know, getting younger fish back in the population. Everything that we were catching was you know, 60 years predating the dams, and so, and we knew that the sturgeon, although they're long-lived, they don't live forever, and so we're trying to get some fish back in. The first few years it was a struggle. I remember the first year I got here in 96, we were able to collect four pallid sturgeon and a lot of intensive netting up on the Yellowstone and the Missouri River up by Williston. It just happened that three of them were males, and the fourth one was an immature female, immature egg stage female. See, pallids don't have eggs every year that are mature. It takes a two-year cycle for them to develop eggs that are viable. And so that first year was a miss. The next year we ended up having one female in here, and we did a spawn her, and everything, we were doing high fives and everything, and of all the nights to have this happen, we actually had a power short on our main line coming in from the powerhouse, and all the eggs went from their 60 degree, 65 degree water temperature down to 40, and we didn't have anything for survival that year. So it was a learning curve, but you know what, we got back in the business, and over the last 20 years we've stocked out over 750,000 pallid sturgeon in the Missouri River, from all the way up in the northern extremes in Montana all the way down to the confluence of the Mississippi River, and we've got a stable population. They're not recruiting naturally yet, but at least there's fish out there that are going to be around for another 80 years while my grandkids work on the problem.
A lot of great information. Thank you.
For more information on fishing in North Dakota, visit the North Dakota Game and Fish's website at gf.nd.gov.
For Greg Power, Rob Holm, and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department and the Fish Hatcheries, thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.